Just before we start today, are you a teacher? Most listeners aren't, because we aim this show at students. But if you are an educator of some form, I just wanted to let you know that I'm co-authoring a special series this month on effective studying with this week's podcast guest, Peps McRae, for his famous ultra-concise, ultra-high-value Evidence Snacks email newsletter. In the three-part series we've put together, I'm sharing some of my all-time favourite tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to help embed smarter study strategies in your school, helping students study smarter, not harder, going beyond the research recommendations to figure out exactly what we need to be telling students to help them put good ideas into practice. In the email series, I'm even giving away some of my teaching resources so you can pick up some ready-to-teach lessons so you can deliver these ideas directly into your school. So you get slides, a little video, and even a workbook for your learners. Follow the link in the episode description to catch up on any emails in the series that you might have missed so far, and then sign up to Peps's Evidence Snacks email list to get the rest of the series delivered directly to your inbox. For everyone else listening, all my non-teacher friends studying hard for their exams at school, university and more, I just wanted to say, especially if your exams are coming up soon over the next few weeks, hang in there, my friends. Keep going. You've got this. And now, here's today's episode.
Welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast, helping you ace your exams at school and university through the psychology of high performance and the science of studying smarter, not harder. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, the Cambridge-trained memory psychologist and exam success coach, William Wadsworth!
Hello and welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast. I was always a pretty average student, and the thought of going back doing professional exams was my worst nightmare. Read an email I received from podcast listener Adam recently. Fast forward from his initial fear of taking professional exams again, and he ended up placing first in his whole country of Ireland in one of his major exams, and third in the entire world. So from his initial fear to that incredible result, I just had to know more and find out a little bit about how he had achieved that.
As part of this conversation with Adam, you'll also hear a little bit about his experience studying with dyslexia, which will set us up very nicely because over the next few weeks here on the podcast, we're going to be diving into various common forms of neurodiversity in much more detail and exploring how they affect the students that have those various neurodiversities, for example, dyslexia, autism, and ADHD. So do look out for those episodes in the weeks to come, a little taste of what's to come perhaps by hearing about Adam's experience with dyslexia today.
So without further ado, let's meet Adam and get right into how he achieved such fantastic results in his professional exams.
Yeah, so hi everyone, I'm Adam. So I'm a finance professional, graduated with a degree in economics. In the last year or so, pre-COVID, I decided to go back and do a professional qualification in accounting.
Fantastic. So just to give a bit of context, Adam, like what is the place? So it's these, the ACCA exams.
Yeah, the ACCA exams.
Yeah. So just give people who don't kind of work in the industry just a little bit of context as to their kind of importance in someone's overall career trajectory.
Yeah, so the ACCA exams, they're quite a comprehensive set of exams. There's three kind of globally recognized accounting qualifications, CMA, ACCA, and Chartered Accounting. ACCA is probably the designation that I wanted to go down because I don't work in industry. I work in industry and not in practice. So there's three levels, 13 exams, and luckily I had exemptions from two, but it's quite a long road. It covers kind of broad-based accounting from financial reporting to financial management. So covers kind of all aspects of it, really.
So from your introductory email that you dropped me before we decided to have this podcast, it sounded like you were pretty apprehensive about going into the whole process of studying. So kind of take us back to that point in time. How are you feeling about the prospect of taking exams again, and why were you not feeling so good about it?
Yeah, definitely. So I probably had a love-hate relationship with college and learning in general and school. So I'm dyslexic. So for me, kind of learning or being faced with big streams of texts, never kind of the most interesting thing for me. And I would tend to get lost in it quite a bit. I suppose the reason I wanted to the ACCA qualification is where I was in my career, in order to kind of get up the ladder or move forward. I really needed to develop an understanding of how to account for transactions. The role I was in, you didn't specifically need to be an accountant, but it definitely helped in order to kind of speak to accountants and how to deal with certain transactions. The first thing I did really when I decided to undertake the exam was I wanted to spend a bit of time of actually preparing for it. So rather than diving straight into the books, I was actually researching for something that you were offering. Was there a better way that I could study or approach my learning than I had maybe, let's say, in college or school? So the ACCA, for example, make resources available, like podcasts. So they'd have a lot of technical articles. More recently, they've kind of moved them to an audio form. So for someone like me, it's a big help because I don't get lost in the text. I can comprehend a lot more of the article by listening to it.
Yeah. So you started the process back in 2021, is that right?
So just as COVID started, so March 2020, I was due to sit my first exam. And obviously the test centre's closed, so that put a bit of a hiccup in it. So I wasn't able to actually sit until August of that year.
And how were things? How did things go for you at first?
Yeah, so I did really well in the first exam. I suppose with COVID, there was no other distractions. So it was probably the best time to start taking up something like this because there was really nothing else to do. Doing well in the first exam really kind of set the momentum for the rest of them. So as I mentioned, the ACCA is three levels. The first exam was a level one, and that set me up then to move into level two, and I kind of like setting a good foundation in each exam. I think one thing I decided at the start was I didn't want to just get 50% in each exam. I wanted to kind of give it the best shot I could because the papers lead into each other. So if you develop a good understanding of one of the lower papers, it really helps you when it comes to one of the more difficult papers because they do get considerably more challenging as you progress through the levels.
I think that's a general principle that a lot of people find in their exam career and a good reason not to cram and leave everything to the last minute.
100%. Yeah, I would have been where I went to uni. We used to have study month in advance of exams, and that was probably the first time I opened up a lot of books for some subjects. I'm sorry to say, and so I just wanted a completely different approach to these set of exams.
It's obviously sounded like it's been going pretty well for you, and I know you said in your note that one of your exams in particular you scored first in your whole country of Ireland, and third in the entire world, which is an incredible achievement.
Yeah, no, so they have been going pretty well, but my results have been quite good. That's obviously something I'm particularly proud of, but it probably masks all the hours that kind of go under it. So I would say for me anyway, there is a lot of hours that go into these exams. And that's why when I came across your series of how to study more effectively, that was something that really helped me because I do put a lot of hours into it, but I wouldn't say that all the hours are effective. So when you look at my study routine, probably before I listened to you, I was probably making a lot of the basic mistakes. And my study routine now is actually a lot more slimmer, and I get a lot more out of the hours that I put in.
Fantastic. So, if you were to break it down, what were some of the things you started to do differently, and what were the results you got with that?
So, yeah, if you look at my study routine pre-listening to your series and then afterwards, it's a lot slimmer than what it was. So I would have highlighted quite a bit of text, wrote out notes, rewrote them out, and a lot of spider diagrams. My study routine now is probably a lot more structured in that, let's say, after each class, I would do a blank page retrieval just to see, right, what did I take from that class? I'd then take maybe a 15-minute break and go into preparing flashcards. So rather than just reading text and highlighting it, I would take out the key bits of each text and make flashcards out of them. And then that's the only time I would look at the text. I wouldn't need to go back to it, whereas previously I would have needed to read it a number of times. Then after that, it's just practicing with flashcards. So I've gone from making notes, spider diagrams, reading text for hours and hours to, right, here's the text, take the bits of information I need out of it. Then I just constantly reference the flashcards.
Amazing. I'm always curious the switch over point, you know, what happened around that time. So, you know, the How to Study Effectively series, we can link that in the podcast show notes, but it starts from episode 66 onwards. It sounds like you picked up a lot of great ideas from that and ultimately ended up using them pretty effectively. Was it kind of love at first sight? Did you just hear the ideas and try it straight away and then it worked perfectly to start with? Or was there a kind of a bit more of a process of, you know, trying things out and it was a little bit more kind of iterative? Was it a kind of a big bang light bulb switch all at once, or was it sort of a bit more of a process?
Yeah, I would say it was definitely a lot more of a process. So like you put forward a number of different techniques. I'd actually tried them all. Some worked for me quite well, some didn't at all. So like, let's say instead of flashcards, you had the Q&A alternotes. That's probably how I would have approached my study before in terms of, I would have learned off a lot of essays. So here's the question, here's the response that I would give. And the problem with that is you might have 4, 5, or 6 paragraphs per essay. And as you get to the bottom of it, unless you're rewriting the essay each day, you're going to forget a lot of it over time. So if I start my study in September for an exam in December, and I start learning essays in September, I probably don't remember too much of it come exam day. I tried the Q&A alternotes. I found they didn't work for me, whereas flashcards did quite well. I would probably utilize flashcards before, but I suppose, as you mentioned, they were just condensed notes. They were the same notes on a much smaller piece of paper, so it wasn't as effective. Whereas now if I move to a simple, here's a question, here's an answer, or here's a particular scenario I might be faced with, and here is the pro forma or the formula that I would use, it's a lot more flexible that you can kind of respond to any question that you get in the exam day.
So for those of you that want to go back and look some of these episodes up, it's episode 68 for the blank page retrieval technique, episode 70 for flashcards, and episode 72 for Q&A alternotes. As Adam said, the latter wasn't a good fit for him, but it might be a good fit for you. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting point about, you know, trying a few of these different things out, almost kind of having that slightly playful experimental attitude to it perhaps, and then seeing what you like most and running with that.
100%. And like I would say with the flashcards, when I listened to that episode, I remember thinking at the time, there's no way that I would do the flashcard routine. I definitely would have been 100% that, yeah, Q&A alternates would have been where I would have gone.
Interesting.
Purely because there was just so much to learn for these exams. I thought I would end up with kind of stacks and stacks of flashcards, which I did. To be fair, I did end up with stacks and stacks of flashcards, but I will say it was the most effective way for me to learn things. And particularly if you're in a course where you have to know definitions specifically. So there's a number of accounting definitions in, let's say, financial reporting exams that I would sit that could be almost a paragraph long. I'd break them up across 3 flashcards. The mistakes I probably made with flashcards at the start was mine were definitely way too long. And it's actually, I bought your book and you had the kind of the visual example of how a flashcard should actually look. And I know you go through it in the podcast, but it's probably a bit easier to kind of contextualize when you see it.
Sometimes just seeing that clear example is, yeah, just 100%. Brings it all to life, doesn't it? Yeah.
Because even sometimes a sentence on the back of a flashcard can be quite hard to learn off, or 2 sentences on the back of a flashcard, you might need to break it down into smaller chunks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So just one final question on kind of learning strategies. You mentioned you'd sort of tried out different techniques and seen which ones you liked. And how soon did you start to see or kind of feel the benefit in terms of, oh, you know, I can actually remember a bit more, I'm retaining a bit more from my studying?
So I would say once I got my flashcard routine down correctly, and once I incorporated into my study routine, so both strategies went hand in hand with each other. So the flashcards, yes, very effective, and I probably retain information for 24 hours. But the blank page retrieval, I think, was really the key to cementing it. So let's say if I do a week where I'm learning a chapter on provisions and how to deal with provisions, I'd write out the flashcards on a Monday after class. Tuesday, I would review them. Maybe Tuesday morning before work, I'd spend 15 minutes practicing them. Tuesday, I'd review the flashcards, do I need to make any changes, and then just really cement them to make sure that I've learned them. Wednesday morning for work or my first study session on a Wednesday, I'd start with blank page retrieval, write out everything that I know about provisions from the flashcards. So that way you're not relying on the questions, because sometimes if you have an open text exam, so let's say I would be given a very broad area to talk about in an essay, you really have kind of that idea in your head of how you want to map it. Almost I would look at blank page retrieval as what I was hoping spider diagrams would achieve for me. You direct what you understand, and you can fill in the gaps then after that. Then I suppose as the week would progress, I would just focus on that set of flashcards, but then I'd probably implement the traffic light system with sticky notes to break them up. I know you said to put them into different boxes and circle them down. I just ended up with too many to fit in a box. So I would say, right, in this topic, these are the red flashcards I don't understand as well. So I would go over them each day before work. The, let's say, amber or yellow ones, I would maybe go every Wednesday and Saturday. And then the green ones, I would probably go every Sunday. And I found over time that you wouldn't need to come back to some flashcards for maybe a month or so, and you still remember them.
Fantastic. Yeah, so you were actually using little coloured sticky notes, red, orange, green, yeah. And the ones you didn't know, you're putting a red on. What was the difference between red and orange, or orange and green?
So red were ones that I just could not get into my head. So I would need to focus on them literally every day. Sometimes I would even, if I had time, if I had 15 minutes before work in the morning, I'd take them out as well. A lot of the times with the red ones, I probably had to redo and break them out into smaller sentences or just one word cues, or maybe use pseudonyms to kind of get into my head.
Nice. I like the system. One of the challenges that often comes with learning for exams in your kind of context, so when you're a professional and you have a day job, it is kind of fitting in the studying in and around the day job. And you kind of alluded to that a little bit when you were describing your system. But I wonder if you have any more thoughts specifically on that challenge of fitting in studying around a day job. Like, how did that look for you in terms of the challenge, and how did you overcome the problem?
Yeah, so I suppose when I started the exams, I worked in a job where the hours were a bit more standardized, whereas partway through I switched to an international company. So my kind of standard set of hours very much depended on which time zone I was covering. So I found that quite a challenge, because routine for me would have been quite important. I think for most people, if you can set a specific time that, look, 6 o'clock I'll sit at my desk, phone's out of reach, there's no other distraction. So it helps, because you're either going to sit and study or you're going to sit and look out the window. And if you really force yourself to do that, then that's great. But where I found kind of flashcards and blank page retrieval handy was that because I no longer had a set structure, it's a lot easier to dive into a set of flashcards than it is into a textbook. So let's say I needed to practice 3 questions that evening. It's quite hard to switch straight. I find it quite hard to switch straight from work into, let's say, study. If I say, right, first 15 minutes, I'm going to look at flashcards and nothing else, that starts to build momentum. Or if I'm going to do a 15-minute blank page retrieval, that allows me to set into kind of my system. So it allowed me to be a bit more flexible.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it, when you can't kind of fall into, you know, completely regular routine. I guess that tends to be people's preference where possible, you know, having that regularity. So it also becomes a habit. You know, these are the times of day I do my thing. But yeah, different ways of kind of overcoming the challenge, I guess, when that's not possible. Fantastic. Are there any other areas or aspects to your study strategy that you feel contributed to your success that we haven't touched on so far?
Yeah, so for me, question practice is probably the key to passing these exams for me. So as many questions as you can do, especially at maybe the lower and middle level, because it's probably a lot more lean toward similar type questions that come up, and a lot less towards maybe narrative explanations. Some narrative explanations are probably required at the lower and middle level, but definitely not as much as the final level. What I found the flashcards and the blank altar notes kind of helped me was to build a bit of confidence in that I knew what I was going to face when I came into the question. So it really helped me bridge the gap from text to question. For me, I probably wouldn't attempt a question before having a solid understanding of the area. But I think you alluded to in one of your podcasts, you want to get into questions as quickly as possible. So by coming up to speed with the context of the information through flashcards, it allowed me to kind of get into questions almost within 2 days of, or a day of, having studied the topic.
Yeah. I think there's always a temptation to leave questions right to the very end of the process. And one of the risks in that is that you end up, you kind of learned the wrong thing, or sort of have the knowledge stored away in the wrong format. Whereas if you can get some visibility of the questions earlier on in the cycle, even just a little bit, then it starts to, oh, okay, well, this is exactly what I'm going to face. So working backwards from that makes sure I know the kind of knowledge in the way it will be asked on the actual exam. Some students even look at the questions, just maybe read through the questions or a sample of the questions before doing any studying at all, just to give them that sense of, okay, well, now I understand exactly what I'm going to be facing. And it helps them make sure that what they're learning is appropriate for the kinds of questions they're going to see.
Yeah, 100%. I'd agree. I suppose what I'd attribute a lot of my success to that exam I did quite well in was, yeah. So with a lot of these professional qualifications, you get inundated with text. So I would have textbook, course notes, and it's the workbook with all the questions. And the workbook with all the questions could contain quite a significant amount of information itself in terms of, let's say, the sample essays. My strategy was actually to go straight to the sample answers for anything that was text related. And that's what I'd use to build my flashcards, because that's ultimately what the examiner is looking for. I found kind of switching that process from, oh, I learn what's in the textbook, to learn what I should be giving the examiner really helped me.
Yeah. I guess particularly if the types of questions you're going to see in the exam are going to be pretty similar to what's in that sample set, then that's essentially a pretty good way to go.
Yeah.
Adam, while we're chatting, is there anything else I can help you with? So are there any aspects, or it sounds like you've got a fantastic system in place, but if there are any elements you're still wondering about or want to sort of raise any questions or queries on, feel free. I'm more than happy to help while we're chatting.
Yeah, I think for me, the only thing that I find would help me would be how to deal with the volume of flashcards. So like the system that I have, obviously, it worked quite well for me, but it comes a point where you do start swimming in flashcards, and that's literally your room gets taken over by it. So if there's any kind of advice you would have on maybe a better system, I know you've talked about it quite extensively before, but I think it's the sheer volume of flashcards for me and how to manage that.
I think there comes a point where the volume gets so big that you have to make peace with the idea that there are some flashcards, you know, you kind of need to put to bed or kind of put on ice until a little bit closer to the exam. So, you know, in the context that you maybe have, let's say it's 3 or 4 months to go before the exam, and, you know, maybe shoeboxes full of flashcards, you know, I like to organize them by topic area. So have some kind of organization into kind of decks of cards by topic area, and keep some kind of index or library system going of kind of the different topic areas and how I feel about them. And what I like to do is, you know, I've kind of got my day-to-day review system. And so you mentioned what you do, and you know, there might be some cards you look at every day. You have a sort of system, you make cards and then you sort of look at them the next day or whatever. And so there's all that sort of stuff that happens day to day. What I like to do is try and find a time each week. So maybe picking off half a day at the weekend, for example, if I have some time at the weekend, in your kind of context outside of a day job kind of thing. And what I'm doing in that day, let's say it's Saturday afternoons. What I'm doing on my Saturday afternoons is a combination of reviewing new cards I've made that week. So anything new that I've covered in the last 7 days. And then looking back through my library, looking back through my shoeboxes full of cards, or my library of my kind of little index card of what's in all the different shoeboxes. And I'm looking for topics that I feel the least confident on. So either topics I've found particularly hard in the past, or possibly just topics that aren't especially hard, but I just haven't looked at them for ages. And so I might pick one or two of those topics, and I'll include those in my Saturday afternoon review process as well. So just to keep some of those topics ticking over, maybe every few weeks. And then when we get into the final couple of weeks before the exam, that's when we start to kind of pick up momentum again. So, you know, setting aside some time, 1, 2, 3 weeks before the exam, depending on your schedule and how many cards you've got to get through, and just sitting down and then going back through all the cards you've got, literally just start to finish going through them all. In some cases that might take, I don't know, it might be a whole day for someone. It might be 5 whole days for someone if they've got loads of cards. But you know, going back through every single deck front to back, you know, when we're kind of into those final weeks, week or two before the exam. And then from that process, that kind of go through all your flashcards the final week or two before the exam. You might pick out a handful of decks, handful of topics that you're still not feeling so confident on, and that you'll make time to go through a second round of testing on maybe just a few days now before the exam, or even just the day before the exam. Again, it's a sort of a visual metaphor, which is slightly harder to convey over a podcast. But if you can imagine it, it's like when you first make the card, when you first make the flashcards, you start to look at them. You start by testing yourself on them reasonably regularly. So maybe the day after, a few days later, the end of the week. But then the gaps get a lot bigger. So maybe you don't then look at it again for several weeks. But then as you come into the exam, the gaps start to get shorter again. So you look at it 1, 2, 3 weeks before the exam. For the hard ones, you look at them again, maybe just a few days before the exam. So the kind of gaps start by getting wider and wider, and then they contract. They get narrower and narrower. The time gaps between those reviews gets narrower and narrower as you head into the exam itself. And that's how to manage high volumes of flashcards, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think that piece there of making peace with the fact that some flashcards might never stick. But to be fair, I found those were a very small percentage of them. But yeah.
And this, by the way, is one of my concerns with certain digital flashcard tools, like, you know, Anki, for example. Phenomenal tool, and lots of people get fantastic results with it. But it's very it's very naggy sometimes about this is what you've got to do today, and you feel behind if you haven't done that. And so when the volume of cards you've got to review gets very high, it's just impossible. There aren't enough hours in the day to keep up with what it thinks you need to do. And, you know, we just need to be practical. Like, we can only do what we can in the time available. And the sort of approach I was describing is a way to kind of balance the need to keep reviewing things with just the practical consideration that, well, actually, my time is limited. I can only review certain cards so many times.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think the time is limited thing for me would be one of the biggest challenges. So, like, with the flashcards, as the mountain of them builds as you get closer to the exam, it's quite easy to just solely focus on flashcards and not leave enough time for, let's say, exam practice or going over some articles or weaker notes that you might need to just brush up on. So for me, what I found worked best was being really disciplined. So I would use flashcards, let's say 30 minutes to start off my study session, and that's it. Then I'd focus on 2 hours of exam practice and make sure I have one hour in there for exam review and maybe finish with 15 minutes of flashcards. But not to, you can very easily kind of fall into the trap of just focusing on flashcards.
I think that's great advice. Definitely. You can either divide it up within your routine each day, or like some people do, well, okay, Mondays and Tuesdays are flashcard days, and like Wednesdays is past paper day, or you know, whatever through the week. But however you do it, I absolutely agree that balance is crucial. We can't only do the flashcards; we also do need the practice paper practice as well. Adam, speaking of advice, if you had the opportunity to kind of go back in time 2 or 3 years and kind of condense down what you know now to give Adam starting out on his exam journey a couple of tips, what would be the kind of number one or number two things you'd want to say to him?
The number one thing would be, if I look at my study routine now versus when I started, was just to be more structured, to be really disciplined with the structure of how I approach my study. And I suppose what I mean by that, it's quite easy to get lost amongst all the topics. So if I look at, let's say, discounting today, not to kind of move off topic and look at something different like provisions. That'd probably be the main thing that I would have.
Stay on task. Excellent.
And probably maybe the second thing was just to be clear. I think one of the first things I came across in your podcast series was decide what type of student you want to be. Do you want to be the 50%? Do you want to be the 80%? What's driving? For me, it was always, I wanted to make sure that if I was sitting through it, I wasn't targeting a certain percentage, but I wanted to build competence in what I was doing. So I wanted to actually learn to the best of my ability the course content and work back from that.
Fantastic. So just before we leave you, what's next? What's coming up next?
So yeah, hopefully I have three more exams to sit. That'll be me done with exams for life. I don't think I would go back to it again. But I definitely, it is a worthwhile road. If any, I probably went back to study a lot later in life, and that was probably something that put me off as well. But I would highly recommend it. It's definitely made a big impact for my career. So I wouldn't change anything about it.
Fantastic. Adam, wishing you every success with those remaining three exams. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much. And look forward to the podcast series again.
Well, thanks so much, Adam, for sharing all your wonderful insights about the experience, putting some very important principles from the podcast into action in your studies. Since I talked to Adam, he's since been in touch by email. We've been in touch quite a bit, actually. And he actually received the results for the exam he was preparing for at the time we recorded this exam. And many congratulations, Adam, for placing first in Ireland once again and fifth in the whole world for his exams. So building on a very strong set of results and continuing to perform at an incredibly high level in his accounting and finance exams. Again, if you'd like to learn more about any of the techniques that Adam was referencing, the How to Study Effectively series that we did on the podcast a couple of years ago is a really great place to start. Has some very useful audio lessons. You can find that from episode 66 onwards here on the podcast. However, as we ran up against a couple of times in our conversation today, there are sometimes limits to how clearly I can explain important ideas in the podcast in audio-only format, no matter how hard I try. And even when you've understood the basics, there are often questions about how to apply the ideas to your specific situation. Everybody's situation is slightly different, as came up with Adam's question towards the end of our conversation today. That's why for some time now we've been offering private coaching to offer an extra level of support to what now numbers hundreds of clients who've worked with either myself or my colleague Dr. Alex Hibble over the years, and in most cases, the vast majority of cases, gone on to get really excellent results in their exams. More recently, we've started to offer a new way to get our premium support and clearest explanations, as well as some personalised guidance. It's called the Study Smarter Network, and it's been proving a very popular option with people, and a nice alternative to coaching with maybe more of a self-study vibe compared to doing one-on-one coaching with us. The Study Smarter Network combines access to detailed video lessons where I can make key concepts about how to prepare for your exams super clear, as well as direct private Q&A access to me through a Q&A chat and voice notes app to get your questions answered and help you make the fastest possible progress. At the time of recording this podcast, I'm in the midst of creating one of the pillar courses that Study Smarter Network members enjoy as part of their video library. It's a course called Total Memory Mastery, which I think of as something of the spiritual successor to the How to Study Effectively series we did on the podcast, but also offering so, so much more. It's much easier to explain things in the video format. I can show you illustrations, as I was saying earlier, and also just honestly my thinking on accelerated learning strategies to help you remember tons of information in less time has been coming on a lot in the last 2 years, and so I'm folding in all my latest thoughts, tips and ideas into Total Memory Mastery, and based on a combination of the latest memory science as well as my experience for what's actually working best for people in real life as we help them prepare for their exams. And for Total Memory Mastery, this is especially helpful for very challenging, knowledge-rich exams that simply ask you to learn lots and lots of information, though we do have some content in there as well about quantitative exams as well, so where you have to do kind of math-style problems. Unlike some of my other courses, which you can buy separately, Total Memory Mastery is currently exclusively available through the Study Smarter Network. You can find out more about both Total Memory Mastery, the course, and the broader Study Smarter Network program, which includes Total Memory Mastery as well as many other things, at examstudyexpert.com/network. That's examstudyexpert.com/network to learn more. And if you do have any questions about joining, if you wonder if it's the right fit for you, that kind of thing, do drop me an email at william@examstudyexpert.com. Always happy to answer your questions. I'm also excited to hear from you on a totally separate note. If you feel you have a student story that you would like to share here on the podcast, again, just drop me an email. It's william@examstudyexpert.com. Share a little bit about your circumstances. And I'm really always on the lookout for exciting new stories to tell here on the show. It's often people that don't feel they have a useful story to tell have some of the best stories to tell. So don't hesitate. Don't be shy in getting in touch if you'd like to potentially be interested in the idea of having a chat with me here on the podcast, as we did with Adam today. For now, thanks again for listening. It's been a huge pleasure to have your company, as always, and I will look forward to seeing you again for another episode very soon. Wishing you every success in your studies.